The penultimate game week of the season is here. We're wondering what to do with City with the FA Cup final ahead. We target our transfers on teams with something still to play for, and we're all on an Arsenal captain, but who's the best pick? I'm not quite sure how we've got here, but somehow we have crawled to game week 37, the penultimate game week. The final double is done, and to be honest, the less said about that, the better. But this is where it all comes down to, pretty much. Final Friday night deadline this week as well, 6:30 p.m, 90 minutes ahead of Aston Villa versus Liverpool. Morning, Sam. Morning, Jules. Do you feel the same way about the double game week as me, Sam?
Mine wasn't so bad because I obviously have Gahey rather than Nico O'Reilly. So I was like, well, that's okay. Although I did decide quite last minute last week to do the Semenyo to Cherky move. So when I saw Cherky was benched, I was like, oh, please, Pep, why have you done this to me? So when he came off the bench and got the assist, I was like, okay, well, this doesn't feel quite so bad anymore. But yeah, in the end, I had a good week. Got 86. It's another green arrow. I feel like I'm on a little bit of a green arrow train at the minute, which is positive. So yeah, I actually feel quite positive about it. It's one of those where getting a green arrow when you don't have a chip in a week where everyone else around you seems to have played a chip feels quite nice.
Yeah, well, I didn't play a chip and I had the three Man City players that were benched last night. And once again, my last minute transfers that made so much sense on paper made zero sense when it came to points returns. But there we are. Jules, what about yours?
79 points, which is not too bad. But I played the bench boost, which got me 18 points, which is not too bad. I was a bit gutted, like a lot of us, with O'Reilly not even being on the bench, Cherky on the bench, Haaland not coming on, obviously, especially with Haaland captain. But in the end, it's not too bad. I guess the only regret is that I sold Tarkowski to get O'Reilly in, thinking that O'Reilly would play the two games, and he didn't, obviously, while Tarkowski had a goal and an assist in the Everton game. So it could have been, should have been maybe much better, but I'll take the 79. So another green arrow too. I'm getting closer to the 100k mark, which is where I want to be at the end of the season. So I've got two more game weeks and then hopefully be there.
Can I just tell you my transfers to let me get it out of my system? Because I think they looked good on paper. So I did Calvert-Lewin to Gyökeres. And obviously that felt like I was talking to someone else and we were like, Gyökeres is in brilliant form. Calvert-Lewin, bit patchy, Leeds nothing to play for. Calvert-Lewin scores, Gyökeres does nothing. Semenyo to Cherky. Cherky felt like the better option. I think we all agreed with that. We said it on last week's pod. And then Palmer to Saka. So all of those transfers made sense. The problem is, the moment I sold Calvert-Lewin for Gyökeres, Calvert-Lewin was on my bench. So then I benched Senesi's 8 points as well. So, So yeah, I was starting to climb. I was looking towards 200K at one point and I've ended up at 440K. So anyway, move on. I'm just really annoyed about it. FPL for Mini League then. Yeah, one of those weeks. But it's one of those weeks that you don't want to have this close to the finish.
Yeah, it's when it's happened.
I was getting some momentum. I'd used my chips well. My wild card had gone well. Everything looked like it was going quite nicely. And then, now.
But then you can't have any regret because your transfers were good. You know, it's not like if you try something a bit
but
silly,
also they
it
were
was
quite
actually
late.
Make a lot of
they
sense.
Were late transfers again.
But they do also set you up for the last 2 weeks, Kel.
Yeah, exactly.
I also said to the person that I was speaking to, who also works on fantasy in another capacity, Sam, you know him. I said to him, I could leave this Gyökeres move until next week because Burnley's the fix you want him for. And he was like, yeah, but over the last three game weeks, who do you want more for the three? And I just was like, yeah, actually, what am I waiting for? I've got the transfers. Sometimes when you have transfers that are there, they kind of burn a hole in your pocket. And all week I didn't make the transfer, so I'm just annoyed with myself that I did. But then I felt quite smug at the deadline. I was like, oh, look how good my team looks.
I would have made that Gyökeres move.
I'd
now
have made
too,
that move.
To be fair.
I would have,
I agree.
Yeah, I almost had too much money in the bank and too many transfers. Anyway, let's move on. FPL Pod Mini League. Pedrom is at the top still, and he's actually extended his league. He got 79 points, which was 9 more than Kim, who's in second. He did Semenyo to Cherky too. Kim is now 11 points behind Pedrom with 2 game weeks to go. Gosta Gustafsson in third closed the gap to second place to 14 points after registering 76 points in game week 36, with Dan Thomas in fourth shortening the gap between them to just 1 point after he registered 81 points. Guys, I know one of these people in the top 10. Jules, you might even know her. A shout out to Jeff Bilbra and Natalie Pike.
Oh, yeah.
Natalie yeah. Pike, who, if you're in the UK, she's on BBC Radio 5 Live, Manchester City, big Manchester City fan. She does some work for DAZN, really lovely girl. She's been having this amazing season, but not many of her followers love FPL. So she's been sharing things and I've been saying, well done, well done. And she sent me a screen grab of the league this week. I was like, oh my gosh, look at this. And I was like, wow. To be fair, I've never personally known anyone in the league. So well done to Natalie and of course Jeff Very as well. Natalie's up to eighth. Jeff and Natalie made the 100 club this week. Jeff got 109, Natalie got 115 points respectively. Jeff used his triple captain, Natalie used her bench boost. Game week 36 review then, let's start with that because Sam did take us through the first 10 fixtures of game week 37 along with Praz in off the bench. So if you do want to go back and listen to that, you can do. But since they're recorded, of course, we've had that match that we spoke about with Man City and Crystal Palace. I mean, if ever there was an opportunity to demonstrate that Pep Roulette is still very much a thing, Sam, that was it.
Yeah, and it was one of those where I think we were expecting a bit more rotation from Palace than we were from Manchester City in this one. I think we kind of looked at it and thought, well, it was a fairly full-strength Palace side at the weekend. Maybe they rotate a little bit more. They didn't really. I mean, we had the Mateta versus Strand Larsen thing play out again, and obviously we had Ismail Assar on the bench. But other than that, they were full-strength. Pep, on the other hand, decided it was time to punish us all. O'Reilly not in the squad at all. We saw Cherki and Doku and Haaland benched. And of course, all three of them were ones that were very popular buys going in. And all right, Doku was still very lowly owned, but nonetheless was popular with the FPL managers that were buying this week, especially as it was a little bit cheaper than Cherki. So if there was a budget implication, at least with those two, they came off the bench and got at least some points. Cherki with the assist, Haaland staying on the bench altogether. Maybe in the end, for those of us that didn't triple captain him,
wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
Because actually he was costing me rank every time he did something, which I hate when he's my captain because you kind of go, oh. But what was interesting is that the ones that he rotated in did really well. Like Foden, probably the best game I've seen him play in a very, very long time. Created 5 chances in this one. That was the best he'd made in a match since game week 9. His first double digit haul since game week 16. Which actually, weirdly, also came against Crystal Palace. So he obviously likes playing against them. But yeah, I was impressed by him. I was impressed by Marmoush and was very, very happy with Gehi, who ended up being Man City's top scoring player in double game week 36.
Yeah, and lots of us obviously went with O'Reilly, which has paid off in recent weeks over having Gehi. But this week, it was better to have Gehi, wasn't it? What did you take away from that, Jules?
I just thought the roulette could have gone anyway, really. You know, Cherki could have started and Semenyo could have been rested. You could have had Gehi rested and O'Reilly starting, for example. The only thing we didn't know was, one, what Pep would do, and two, maybe the fitness level of some players. That's why O'Reilly was not even on the bench, because he needed a full rest before the FA Cup final, which we knew with the FA Cup final at the weekend for City. And yes, the league is the priority, but you still have a cup final to play, which is very important for them, that there were going to be something like that happen. I was just hoping it was not on my players, but in the end it was on our, you know, my players, our players. So it's a bit frustrating, but in a way we knew there was still a big risk, a big possibility that this would happen.
Okay, let's move on to the final two game weeks. Moving on swiftly from that because I don't want to think about it. Only 2 game weeks to go, so less long-term thinking, or no long-term thinking really. But at this stage of the season, we're always just looking for teams who have something to fight for. Teams who, as we often use the phrase, are not on the beach already. There's quite a lot of Premier League teams with something to play for in terms of the titles still up for grabs. There's obviously a lot of European spots that could still kind of change and be decided. Only one team, sorry, Sam, or 2 teams involved in the relegation battle now, though. So let's just talk about those teams and work out who we should be targeting from each. We'll start at the top. Arsenal. I think I asked this question to Sam last week, Jules, and I think the answer was very much yes. Should we be tripled up? And my follow-up to that is, who with?
Yeah, I mean, treble up for sure if you can afford it, if you've got free transfers, if you've got the money, of course. For this Burnley game on Monday night, definitely, probably for the Crystal Palace game the following weekend at 2 on the Sunday. The West Ham away game, and I love your Gyökeres and Saka move because I think they could have really paid off. But we also knew this would be a big battle because West Ham are still fighting.
I knew it was going to finish 1-0. I don't know why I needed 2 attackers.
Well, you could still have a Saka assist for Gyökeres and a 1-0 Arsenal win. And you know, that's it. And you've got Gabriel or Raya or whoever is your defensive asset from Arsenal. And you're still very happy. I think that could have well happened. But we knew it would be that kind of tight fighting game, really, that they had to play, and they did. So if you had defensive asset from Arsenal, you were very happy. Raya, Gabriel, Saliba, whoever. Attacking wise, Bart Trossard, a bit more difficult. But going forward, Burnley on Monday night, I think it's a no-brainer that you should get as many Arsenal players as you can, really. So if you already have one or two, just get a third one or get a second and third if you can, because they will score against Burnley, they will do well against Burnley, and then probably against Palace the same, who 3 days later will have the European Cup final.
It feels like in both of these games, Sam, they could score goals, but also they're not going to concede any. So which way do you go in terms of, I think we can all assume we have Gabriel or we have one defender. Mm-hmm. Do you then double the defence or double the attack? Because there's a really strong case for both.
Yeah, it's actually really difficult with Arsenal to know how you best double up on them, and then again how you best then make that move into a treble up. So because I now have two, so I have Gabriel and I have Jokeres. So now I've got to decide on what do I do next. Do I just go for the goalkeeper change, which feels like a really straightforward, simple thing to do? Just get Raya. He's probably going to keep two clean sheets. If they keep two clean sheets, they're going to win the league. Feels sensible. Or do I take some more educated kind of risks with my team and either take a hit to get Saka or go for somebody else in that attack that doesn't cost a hit? There is, I guess, a slight part of me that wonders whether the injuries that they have defensively, the Ben White thing alongside Timber, whether that plays a part in how strong that defence is. But then it's Burnley and Crystal Palace who've got their eyes on other things. Like, I just can't see Arsenal conceding. So whilst I feel like I would like to have Saka, the sensible thing for me to do probably is just to get Raya, because then I'm going to get the double clean sheet twice, which feels like a good place to be.
Jules, you going double defence, double attack?
I would go double defence for sure. And then pick the attacker that you think is going to, you know, do as well. Although, to counter what Sam just said, although I agree with everything she just said, they could win 4-0 against Burnley, for example, easily. And then Gyökeres has two, Saka has two, or Odegaard has a couple of assists, or Trossard does something great, or, you know, this is the possibility, or Eze, this is the possibility too. And I think it could be maybe not as much as 4-0 against Palace away. But like we said, Palace, who will already be thinking about the European Cup final, will probably not put up the fight that they would normally play, if they were playing for something in the league too. So you could easily see Arsenal scoring between the two games, I don't know, 5 or 6 goals easily.
But do they go 2-0 up and then calm down? Because they've got their own European Cup final to play.
That's two weeks away though, no?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but could they give them, you know, could we see Arsenal 2-0 up on 60 minutes and then some rotation around those bigger, you know, the Sakas especially, who's coming back from injury? Like, there is a part of me that thinks, at least if I get Raya, I mean, he's going to play every minute of every game, right? Whereas could we see a little bit more rotation if they're ahead? And I would expect them to be ahead early on against Burnley. So if they're ahead, do they push on and get 5-6 goals? Because they don't necessarily look like they're going to need it in terms of goal difference anymore. I don't know. It's really hard with Arsenal to know whether to go double defence, double attack. I think I lean just slightly more towards the defence at the minute, but I could easily be persuaded into two attackers.
Yeah, I'm already locked in with my Jokeres, Saka, Gabriel. But actually, another reason I kind of regret those transfers is that I have gone from thinking I want double attack to double defence. Jules, who are the three Arsenal that you would go for if you had a clean slate?
So Gabriel, for sure, yep. We all have him already. I think I will go for Raya too, like Sam just said, more than two attackers. And then my attacker it's my differential, so but I can say it now, would be Leo Trossard, because I think that he's really low owned. He's quite cheap, much cheaper than Saka, for example, or even Gyökeres. And if you have a space in your midfield somewhere because you're just not happy with one of your players there, I think Trossard is a great pick. He's in great form and he was key against West Ham. And I think that kind of momentum usually with him, because he could be quite a streaky player, usually bodes well for the following games after doing well in two or three previous ones. So Trossard for me will be the third one.
He does seem to come up with the goals for Arsenal when they need it, doesn't he?
Big games, yeah.
Yeah. Sam?
Yeah, I quite like that. Reyes, Saliba, I'm on Jokeres, so I'll just stick with
You didn't
with
mean
him.
Saliba then, did you?
No, I did not. Is that what I said? I meant Gabriel. Sorry, yeah, Gabriel. Raya, Gabriel, and Jokeres. Blimey, good job you're listening to me, Kels.
Not that there's anything wrong with Saliba as a pick, but I feel like a three without Gabriel is probably not the way you were planning on going.
That is rogue. No, yeah, let's not do that.
Okay, Manchester City. So So obviously they did their job, even with that much rotated team. The seconds, they just need to be there, don't they, to pounce if Arsenal are to slip up. Goal difference isn't a factor really so much because of what happened against Everton. So do we still stay tripled up? And does it, I mean, it's tough, isn't it? Because of course they're going to play in the FA Cup final before they play in the league, before the, and then the deadline is Friday. So they're going to have played 90 minutes. So it makes it really tough because I feel like a lot about the lineup will, and also what happens with Arsenal this weekend could define the team selection in midweek, Jules.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a trip away up to Bournemouth as well, which is
not easy,
going to be very tricky. Mm. Yeah, from a Manchester City point of view, whether you win the FA Cup final on Saturday or not, but on Tuesday, you'll be at the Vitality where Bournemouth are so good this season. They haven't lost in 16 games in a row now in the league. They're chasing Champions League football, not just European football, Champions League football, which for them will be just incredible. So it's a very tricky game. You would think on paper that Guardiola has to play his strongest 11, certainly for that Bournemouth away game, because you expect Arsenal to beat Burnley and then City will have to win that game to stay in the title race. Otherwise, if they even drop points against Bournemouth, the title is gone if Arsenal had won the night before. So I would hope that for our three City players, Haaland, Cherki and O'Reilly, even if they start on Saturday in the FA Cup final, they should be starting on Tuesday too, because you think that City will play their strongest team. For the last game against Villa at home, it might be different, especially if they've lost the title obviously then. But if they're still in, and you know, would hope for Arsenal to drop point at Palace and then we go to goal difference if City beat Villa, then again, I would expect him to play strongest 11. So it's really difficult because with Guardiola, you never know. Although I'm quite hopeful for the Bournemouth away game on Tuesday, that he'd be the strongest team and that the likes of Cherki, O'Reilly and Haaland are back in the starting lineup.
I just feel like if you're tripled up, Sam, you just stay tripled up, don't you?
Yeah, until it's over, until mathematically it's over and they can't win the title anymore, then I think you just stay with what you have. Like I learned last week that the sideways moves, they don't often pay off. So yeah, if you've got three, just hold the three you've got. I wouldn't invest in any more though. And I think you just make sure that your bench is okay just to cover it, just in case something happens in the FA Cup, because there's always a risk that you set your team up for a Friday night deadline. Somebody gets injured in the FA Cup final on Saturday, then you're going to need a bench. So make sure your bench order is up to date and solid. And actually, maybe it has a slight impact on the captaincy as well this week, just because if you've got a game before they play in the league, maybe it's better to look outside of Manchester City this week for the captaincy too.
Who are the best three City then at the moment? Would you say it's... Well, I thought it was the three I had until they got rotated, but I think...
That's why they got rotated too, to be fair.
Yeah, that's a good point. So probably we're looking at O'Reilly, Cherki, Haaland, are we? Also, I mean, Semenya got a return.
Yeah, finally got a return after quite a long drought, to be fair. And Doku has been in good form, obviously, before being benched as well. I still think those three that you mentioned, Kels, are probably the best options. Although they will start on Saturday in the FA Cup final, for sure, it's pretty much guaranteed. So then there's always a question mark for them playing Saturday, Tuesday. But like I said, I think Tuesday is huge for City away at Bournemouth and you would expect the strongest team to be played. So I think they're fine for Tuesday, but yeah, you just never know.
I was quite impressed by Foden and Marmoush though, to be fair, last night. I thought both of them played well. So it's not like Man City's second strength aren't really good. Like they are. Like he brings in these rotated players in theory and they still played really well. So I agree with you. I think he plays full strength on Tuesday, but would it shock me to see Foden or Marmoush getting minutes in that game? No. Which does make it difficult for us to know what's best thing to do.
Okay, seven teams are still involved in the fight for European football. I think it's just seven, but it feels like it changes week on week. Liverpool, Aston Villa, Brighton, Brentford, Bournemouth, Everton and Chelsea. So let's quickly go through those. Can't spend too long because there's so many of them. We'd be here till next week. Aston Villa, I mean, for me, this is just a hard avoid because they've got other priorities and you just never quite know what you're getting from them. The fact that the fixtures are Liverpool, then you've got the Europa League final before game week 38, Jules, it just feels like...
Yeah.
You just don't go there, do you?
Yeah, you just don't go there because you're not really sure why, even where Unai Emery is going to go with his team, to be fair. Mm. He's got a few options to rotate. We saw even Lindelof in midfield, for example, at the weekend. So if you really want to go there and thinking about McGinn, who's in great form, or an Ollie Watkins, or even a Morgan Rogers, you can. But that's at your own peril because because like we said, I think the Liverpool home game, which is the last home game of the season, just comes 3 days before their Europa League final. And there's no way Unai Emery would take too many risks with his lineup for the Liverpool game when 3 days later he can win yet another Europa League, and that Europa League final qualifies you for the Champions League next season. So you don't even have to think about a top five, top six finish in the Premier League. So for me, it's all about the European final for them. And I think Emery will manage the teams, certainly for the Liverpool home game, in adequation for the final that comes 3 days later. So I would not go there. There's too many risks, I think.
Agree, Sam?
I still have Morgan Rodgers. And I so wanted to sell Morgan Rodgers last week, and I just could not bring myself to sell him against Burnley. It felt so counterintuitive to have held Morgan Rodgers for all this time. I mean, so loyal to him, and then sell him ahead of a game against Burnley. My goodness, I wish I'd sold him against Burnley, because had I sold him, one, he dropped in price. Saka rose in price. So now I'm 0.2 away from being able to do Morgan Rodgers to Saka if I wanted to go with the double Arsenal attack. And he did nothing again. So he's an easy sell. I think Watkins is too. I might be inclined, if I had Watkins, to just keep him. He's got a decent record against Liverpool. He's got an attacking return in his last three home matches against Liverpool, 2 goals and an assist in that time. Might be inclined to keep him if I had him, but Rodgers just feels like an easy sell and I'm not investing in anyone else. So yeah, I think it's time to jump off Villa and stay off them.
Okay. Liverpool, who of course Aston Villa are playing in game week 37. I'm struggling to invest in Liverpool at the moment. I likely won't. Jules,
I've got Szoboszlai, so I will keep Szoboszlai just because, you know, I only have one free transfer and I will use it somewhere else. But I would not touch Liverpool really right now. I think they're very fragile everywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure where you would go if you wanted to invest in them. And we said there's that away game against Villa, then it's at home to Brentford. Okay, Brentford still have something to play for, but the last home game could be better for them, but the fans are not happy. It's a difficult situation. I just would not go to Liverpool at all. I keep Szoboszlai, of course, and he's always capable of doing something a bit special, but we saw Wirtz missing the last game. Isak is still not fully match fit to me. So yes, of course, he can always score a goal, but it's tricky. Salah, we don't know. The defence, they always concede goals pretty much. So I just would not go on Liverpool.
I'm wondering if there might be a few romantic final day picks though, Sam, against
there
Brentford.
There might be. If we get news that Salah's fit and available to play, then we might see a little bit of romance and bringing him back in again. It's going to be, it will come down to if Manchester City are still in a title race or not, though, because in order to get Salah, you probably got to sell Haaland, I guess. And because I don't think anyone's got enough money to just buy Salah straight off the back. So then it's going to be a lot of ifs and buts maybe that come with that. But I'm with Jules. I think Don Szoboszlai is the only one I would get from a Liverpool perspective. I'm thinking about it. I'd quite like the fixture this week, and I quite like the last home fixture as well. So he possibly might be one of the players that I look to invest in this week, but outside of him, I can't see any value.
Okay, Brighton have got a couple of nice fixtures. It's Leeds away this weekend. Where would we go with those? I'm still tripled up because I was on my wild card, and I'm not angry about it. I've actually doubled on the defence in terms of I've got Verbruggen, Van Heck, and then I've got Hinchelwood, who was one of my few high scorers in the last game week. Who are the best options at Brighton at the moment, Jules?
I mean, Leeds away and United at home, the last two games where I think defensively you could see them not conceding maybe in one of those two games. I'm not sure both of them.
Yeah, I agree.
Because like we said, they're still a very attacking team that, you know, play forward so much that they would be a bit exposed defensively, I think, even if lately it's been fine to have those players, Kels. So I'm a bit more reluctant to go on to defensive assets from Brighton. However, going forward, Welbeck, Minte, who scored, Inchelwood, who scored after like 3 seconds at the weekend too, I think are very good picks. They're very good picks. The differential for most of them, that's the good thing about Brighton this season. And they're going to go for it. You know, they have to. So expect like big performance, certainly attacking wise, from Brighton. And if you fancy it, then I think you should invest in them because again, they will create chances, they will score goals. Yes, they can come from very different. It's not like they had one player like Welbeck on 25 goals already and like an Igor Thiago, and you know this is the guy to invest attacking-wise. You've got different options, which is not a bad thing, because if you pick the right one, then it'd be a massive differential for you.
Yeah, I think I agree in terms of I'm not going to play two Brighton defenders this week. I might not even play one of them. The problem I've got is I've got so many Bournemouth players. And I don't really want to play them against Man City as well. But I'm happy to have Hinchelwood. I guess it's just who's the best attacker really at Brighton at the moment, Sam.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying owning Pascal Gross. Jules, do you want to make a comment about the assist that he got, or are we happy to...
I mean, let's not even talk about assists, because, you know, Phil Foden's second assist yesterday, which miscontrolled the ball. Come on.
First one was delightful, though.
Yeah, first one is great, but not the second one.
I've really enjoyed owning Pascal Gross. I like his route to points. I like the fact he's on set pieces. I like the fact that he's relatively cheap at 5.6. He's easy to buy. It's not difficult to afford him. I like the idea of doubling him up with Hinchelwood, because I agree with what both of you have just said. I'm not sure that there's clean sheets, particularly when you look at that final day of the season. If Bruno's still trying to get that assist record, then that plays a part. Even Leeds, like they've got decent attacking players. There could easily be some goals there for them. So I think Hinchelwood is probably the pick. He's also the cheapest, which helps. After that, I like Gross. Welbeck obviously has been great. He's made 24 starts. He's got 14 attacking returns. It's been a really, really good season for him. So if you need a forward, I don't mind that either, but I prefer the mids at Brighton.
Okay, moving on to Bournemouth then. And as mentioned, they've got a tricky fixture against Manchester City, but a fixture that we don't know a lot about at this stage because, of course, of Manchester City's involvement in the FA Cup final. I said before, my bench is currently Senesi, Hill, Tavernier. But that's because of the fixture. And, well, it's just really tough, isn't it? Because when the team plays City, you don't really generally have a defender, do you? And you definitely don't double up on a defence against them. And Tavernier is someone that I don't particularly want to own anymore. I've kind of had him for their double the other week. And yeah, it's not been the greatest signing I've ever made. So it's tough because actually you could, as Jules said before, it's not an easy fixture, is it, Jules? What would you do with for Manchester City?
I think you go all for the attack, really. If you know, if you already own Evanilson, Kroupi, even Tavernier, I would play. Ryan, which again was, I thought, outstanding the other day. Then I think you play them because Bournemouth will attack. They will create stuff. City defensively at times this season and even recently, even against Palace at the start of the game on Wednesday night when it was still 0-0. Palace had that goal disallowed for a tiny offside, then had another chance too. Brentford the weekend before had chances as well. So I think Bournemouth will create chances and probably will score goals. Defensively, I wouldn't go there with Senesi, Hill. I've got Petrovic as well. I would not go there because I think City will score. But attacking-wise, at home, at Bournemouth have been really good. And let's not forget, they're on this incredible run of results. They're unbeaten in 16. They've beaten Arsenal away. They are usually very difficult to play against for top teams at home because of the way they press and how relentless they are. So I think it's good. But I would not play our defensive assets.
Yeah, do you agree with my bench, Sam? What will you be doing with Senesi, for example?
I find it really hard to bench Senesi. He's got defensive contributions 24 times this season. That's 48 additional points. Gosh. Like, if he gets... Man City are going to attack. So in a game, it's always a bit of a dilemma, isn't it? Because in a game against a team that you know is going to turn up and attack, you kind of want to play the defender because you're almost certain that they'll get defensive contribution points. Like, I would feel fairly confident that Senesi's getting four in this game. So then I have to look at the rest of my team and go, like, with Tavernier, for example, are we just going to see him get two again? Because that kind of feels like where we are a little bit with him right now. And if that's the case, I'd rather play Senesi, who I think is going to get four. So I think the defensive contribution factor for Senesi, James Hill I'd bench, Tavernier I'd bench, but Senesi... Every time I look at benching him, I feel like I'm definitely going to be benching some DEFCON points here. And he does have attacking threat. We've seen that over the last couple of weeks. I think I'll play Senesi.
What about Kroupi, Sam? If you had him?
I'd play him. In fact, if I needed the budget for somewhere else, I'd buy him. Because I think he's a really decent option for the last couple of weeks. He's on penalties, which we thought when we bought Tavernier, Kells, we thought he was. It's become increasingly clear that he's not. It's now Kroupi that's on them. I think Kroupi is low-key one of the best forwards that you can buy at the minute, not necessarily because of the fixtures, but because of the budget that he brings and his attacking threat. And, you know, we have seen that City aren't always the most defensively solid. And if they're looking to if they get frustrated in this game and they look to attack because they have to in order to win the game and stay in the title race, maybe that allows space for the likes of Kruppi and maybe he becomes a decent option. So I think he's definitely a hold. If you need to free up some budget from somebody else, then I think Kruppi looks like a really interesting buy.
Brentford, they're facing Palace. We could see rotation, couldn't we, given everything they've got to go for? I mean, Thiago feels like a nice pick for this game, Jules.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would double up if you fancied it with Dongo, for example, or even Shadder. I would not go so much on the defence just because I'm not sure where to go unless you've got Kelleher. And I think Kelleher is fine if you have him already, play him. Because I think Palace, as we saw against City, are also just focused on their European Cup final, which is absolutely fine. And I don't think they will offer that much of a threat in this game away at Brentford, for example. So Igor Thiago, sure, maybe double up even in the attack for Brentford because they will create chances, they will go for it. I know sometimes they're a bit cautious in the way they play, but in this game, they really have to. And they know that, again, the opposition is not going to be the most aggressive against them or anything like that. So, I think Brentford is really interesting this game week.
Okay, Everton. I struggle with Everton. Tarkowski. George, do you want to talk about Tarkowski?
Got it. Who? He's not a stranger to me.
I need a proper answer there.
No, I mean, I wish, if you ask me, I wish I probably hadn't sold him last week and kept him and all those points because he's such a threat on set pieces, which they are very good at, obviously. They've got some momentum really going into these last two games of the season. They will play Sunderland at home and then away against Spurs, which obviously, nobody loses at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium this season. Two home wins. Let just me remind you that. Imagine if you had season ticket at Spurs. But who would have season ticket at Spurs, to be fair? And you've seen two wins at home this season in the league out of 18 so far. It's remarkable, really, what Spurs do to their own fans.
Really joyful whenever I go there. Really joyful.
You're happy going in, you're happy going back home, because...
Champions League was a bit different.
That was a bit different.
That's okay.
Still stopped.
That ended quite a while ago though now, Sam.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, but we have to live on the things that, brought us joy, Kels.
So I think for Everton, again, they will go for it. They have to. It's just where you spend your money. So Tarkowski, just on the set piece threat, because I also think they concede goals and they will concede goals again in those two games. But then you go for Beto, you go for Barry, you go for Endia, you go for Dewsbury Hall. It's a little bit tricky. I think one of those four could get you a lot of points. You're just picking the right one, to be fair. Mm.
Sam, anything to add on Everton?
I really like them, actually, for the last couple of weeks. I think, they look like a really decent option. Sunderland have been quite hit and miss in recent weeks, that sometimes they're great and then other times they're just really not. And I do think that Everton are in a place now where, and who'd have thought we'd have been saying this earlier on in the season, but they're in a place where they could get European football, and that would be massive for them in their first year at the Hill Dickinson. And obviously this is their last home fixture. It feels like a good opportunity. I really like Dewsbury Hall. I think he's a really good pick. I really like Beto. If I was in the market for a forward, I'm not, because I've got Haaland and I've got Thiago and I've obviously got Gyökeres, and I can't sell any of them this week. But Beto would be a really nice differential, I think, to go with. And obviously Endai, you have penalties. So I think there's decent options there. Tarkowski, I think, is good for this week against Sunderland and obviously the attacking threat that he brings. I don't love him for the game against Spurs, because surely Spurs go into that game knowing they have to win the game, they have to score goals, despite it being at home. But I do think Everton feel like the team, in my mind, of all of these, where you can get your most differential pick that might help you in the next 2 weeks.
Mm. Okay, finally, Chelsea then are in the European hunt. But this is just so tricky, isn't it, Jules? Because we don't know what happens in the FA Cup final. There could be an injury, there could be a suspension. It's just really tough. And also, Chelsea just haven't had the form.
Yeah, no wins in seven. I mean, six defeats in a row. And then the draw at Liverpool, where... they didn't play great. They didn't play badly. It was just a poor game, I thought. That's it. It was. It's Spurs. And as we know, the Chelsea Spurs games, home or away, rivalry, the fact that Chelsea could pour more misery on Spurs, obviously, I think makes it a bit interesting, even for us, because you think that Chelsea will go for it. But then if you go for Enzo, I still have João Pedro. He's doing my head in, but I'm going to keep him because I'm not going to take a -4 to let him go. But it's a, yeah, I would certainly not invest in Chelsea if I, you know, if I had a free transfer or two, for example.
Why didn't I sell João Pedro for Gyökeres instead? That is the big question I've been asking myself ever since. But anyway, I didn't. At the other end of the table then, West Ham and Spurs, of course, still in the battle for survival. West Ham's fixtures, Newcastle and Leeds. Spurs play Chelsea and Everton. Let's start with
West Ham. Tough.
Who are
that
2 points behind. We're not here to predict.
Do they
what
have FPL
in
Championship? What was it called? Championship FPL?
Yeah, EFL Fantasy.
EFL Fantasy. You know the name already.
Sam's going to be moving on to that podcast next season.
We transfer you.
Wow, brutal.
Joking. West Ham then, let's start. They're behind. They're chasing. I mean, Jared Bowen is the only option, is he, Sam?
No.
I like Mavropanos, but yeah, I just don't see him keeping clean sheets.
No, Somerville, Tati, there's other options. I mean, Bowen's the best option, for sure. He's the best option. But there are others. Like, I don't mind a punt on Somerville. I think that as far as cheap midfielders go, got something to fight for. I quite like that. Mavropanos feels like the one, though, if you want to go outside of Bowen for me. I just think that with these guys, it's like they've got something to fight for. Bowen's better at home than he is away from home. So maybe he's better for 38 than he is for 37. But I think if you're doing it, you just do it. I think the problem with Bowen is that if you've got a front line that's obviously got Haaland and Thiago, and then maybe you've got Gyökeres, it's very difficult to get Jared Bowen in. So whereas the midfielders, you might find that you've got a slot that's more easy to fill. So I think I'd take a little look at Somerville.
Jules, anyone?
Yeah, I agree with Somerville. I think for Bowen right now, it's too difficult. And again, also they could... I don't think they are easy games for them. I know they have to go for it and everything, but I think it would be difficult for West Ham. I think West Ham will go down, not Spurs, and we can keep Sam on the show next season too as well. And I think just for that, I would not go for Somerville just for a pun and hope for the best. Really, if you want a huge differential, it's him more than Bowen.
Spurs, Sam, go on quickly.
I mean, trouble on them. Believe
do
in them.
Do not.
It's Porro or Richarlison, isn't it? But I wouldn't go there. But yeah.
Why? Yeah. Even it's, either of them, why?
I'm not saying you should go for either of them, Jules. I'm just saying that if you do want a Spurs player, they would be the two. Richarlison's got to play because his Solanke's injured and Porro's the most attacking. That's
we're meant to be a podcast for advice, aren't we? Let's move on.
I wouldn't invest.
No, there we go.
Matistel, if you want. Paris born and bred, Matistel.
No.
Beautiful man.
Is there anyone else, by the way, from other teams? Let's move on to players that you are likely to buy. Obviously, I think most teams have got Bruno now. Man United have secured Champions League football, but he's going for the assist record. If you don't have him, then get him shortly because he's still got plenty to play for. Any other kind of players that you're looking out for in these final two game weeks, Jules?
Not really, no. I think Bruno is the obvious one, although I thought United were quite disappointing against Sunderland at the weekend. And there's always that risk because I know Bruno is chasing that record, but he's the only one chasing anything right now. So
they're better at home, different. United as well, aren't they?
Yeah, true. So Bruno is the one really to go for if you don't already have him.
Okay. Anyone else, Sam, from you?
Not for 37. I might take a little punt on Burnley in for 38 against Wolves on the final day. A bit of Fleming or somebody like that. Like, particularly if you want to go for somebody a bit more. If I want Salah, then going for a Burnley player on the final day. Haaland to, you know, a Burnley attacker. Maybe that's quite fun. Those two want to go out on a bit of a high. Burnley can score. We know that. Burnley have scored this season. Maybe there's a bit of a punt there. People that are looking for seats on planes to the World Cup, maybe. You know, if they haven't not guaranteed their call-ups yet, maybe you have a look at them. But yeah, otherwise, I think it's focus on the teams with something to play for.
Yeah, a lot of the squads or the long squads will have been made going into game week 38, actually, won't they? Like the England squad's been announced on Friday the 22nd. So, yeah. Okay, differential of the week. Then less said about last week, the better once again. Jules went for Gallagher, Sam went for Saka. They both got 2 points each. Jules, you can go first just because Gallagher comes before Saka in the alphabet. You've already told us who yours is, though. So just elaborate a bit more on Trossard.
Yeah, Leonardo Trossard, 66.5 million. So much cheaper than other Arsenal attacking options, for example, you're thinking about them. Only owned by 1% of the manager, so proper differential. Not like Sam's 9.5% shizzle that we've heard since the start of the season.
Outrageous.
Goals and an assist against Fulham and West Ham the last two games, so back-to-back returns for him. In those two games, created five big chances, whether, you know, it was him having the chance or creating it for somebody else. He's in that kind of form. We said earlier, he's a streaky player. So usually he was in that kind of momentum. He keeps it for a bit longer. And this is Burnley at home.
Sam?
So mine's only owned by 6.8%, Jules. Is that acceptable to you or is that still too much?
I just give the people like proper real differential. That's what I mean, yeah.
Okay, well, 6.8% owned Keenan Dewsbury Hall is mine this week. He's going to cost you 5.2 million, so nice and cheap. He's returned in four of his last five Premier League matches in that time, two goals, two assists, four bonus points. He's got 147 points over the course of the season so far. He's averaging 5.1 points per match, which is really good for that budget.
Yeah.
He's also created 34 chances this season, supplied 105 crosses, had 37 shots, created five big chances, and has made 215 defensive contributions. He's facing a Sunderland side that have been hit and miss, and knowing that if they win this game, it can move them into a European slot for the new season, which would be a phenomenal achievement for Everton. So I quite fancy him. I might even bring him in this week.
I'm thinking about an Everton differential. I think that's quite a nice shot. I also spent the day at Everton this week doing podcasts and just had a nice feeling about it. Transfers and captains then. I think this week we've already spoken about our reservations with Manchester City, the potential of rotation as we saw in midweek. So I'm wondering if there's going to be a lot of people looking at Arsenal. Were they the obvious ones this week, Jules?
Yeah, certainly for the captaincy, whoever you have, especially if you've got an attacker at home to Burnley, you should go there. My transfer will be, I bring Trossard in the team for Cunha. So I still have some money if I want to take a minus four to take Raya as well, which is still a possibility. I don't know, Sam, if it's worth taking minus four for Raya or not, but I'm quite tempted. So, Trossard, I mean, will be the hell of a captain if he plays off to me.
Would you captain Trossard over Gabriel?
I don't know. I just think there's a lot of... If Arsenal really explode attacking-wise, then I think there's probably great...
But if they explode attacking-wise, Jules, Gabriel could get a clean sheet and could be amongst it.
Well, they could score without Gabriel scoring too. They could score three or four with just between the attackers, you know, without set piece and Gabriel.
Yeah.
So that's just what I think. But Gabriel, if, you know, got 11 points last weekend, for example, in game week 36. If you've captained him, that's 22. That's very good, yeah. As much as Haaland. So Gabriel, also an option. Saka an option. Gyökeres an option. I think any Arsenal players would be the best option this week.
I'm leaning towards Gabriel. What about you, Sam?
Yeah, I'm torn between him and Gyökeres, to be honest. It will be one of my two Arsenal boys, but I'm not sure which way I'll go with it. The sensible narrative is the forward. The FPL
but Gabriel's
kick of the season
different.
Is Gabriel.
Yeah, he's a bit different, isn't he? Yeah.
Totally, yeah. He feels like an attacker, doesn't he, every time there's a set piece. And it's Burnley. It could go either way, couldn't it? Like, let's be honest, it could go either way this. So Gabriel, the sensible decision here is to captain Gabriel. The more fun one is maybe to go for Gyökeres in terms of potential for a massive green arrow. And that's kind of where my head is at the minute. I'm like, if I'm going against the Haaland captaincy, which is where I expect the majority of managers to still go, is it better to go for a big, massive differential? And Gyökeres feels like that because he's lowly owned and he's the, you know, he's leading the line for Arsenal, right? So maybe that's the right thing to do because it's most likely to give a big green arrow.
Okay. So it looks like we're going to be on an Arsenal player. Jules, where's yours likely to go, captaincy? Because I'm not sure you really committed.
It would be Gabriel or Trossard, for sure.
All right. That's where we will leave it then. Friday night deadline. Reminder once again, it's 6:30 p.m. because Liverpool travel to Aston Villa on Friday evening. Lee and Harry will be back on Off the Bench on Tuesday to run us through the action from the first eight fixtures of game week 37. And the Fantasy Show is back on Friday. We'll see you next week, guys.